Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Okay. I'm reloaded. It's Mitch FSC. Back in the place to be. Sound like I'm on the road, because that's where I am. I'm on the road going to a remote location as JTATM Money holds it down in the studio. I am magnificent. He is the ATM.
We no.
Are SP.
No, you are the ATM.
Okay. Maybe this year I might be. But that's your name, period. I'm having a bad stroke of luck as of late.
No, it's not luck. It is not luck. Let me tell you something. You know what? I wish I had Ricky on here, because this is my time to voice this, okay? In the last few seasons, you guys have been, I wouldn't say dogging me out, but you have been getting the best of me, which I admit, that's not a problem. You know, I've been all down on the low key for the most. I haven't said that much, but it's soon to be over with, because the fact I have been dominating you and your boy Ricky this week. I mean this year. Anytime you guys have come up with me, except for once, I've dogged you guys out.
And how much did you lose to me by?
Jay? Wait a minute. And let me tell you something here. If I had a full lineup, I know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but you caught me when I had Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson on my bench because they were on a bye. So, you know, I expected to lose that. Regardless who played me, I expected to lose that. No problem.
So hold on. You just made an excuse.
No excuse.
I'm keeping it real.
I'm keeping it real.
Keeping it real goes wrong.
Well, let me put it this way. Where are you at and where am I at in that league?
In which one? The Yahoo League?
The league that you beat me in. That's the only one you beat me. The league that you beat me in.
I'm sitting in fifth. You are sitting in first.
Yes. Say that again?
Dude, it's only like 1.5 games separating us. I'm sitting in fifth. You're sitting in first. It's okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's okay. But what I'm saying is I think we've met at least four times this year. And I think I've the same with Ricky. And I absolutely destroyed Ricky in the same league last week. The Yahoo League absolutely just flicked him off my shoulder like he was a flea last week. So, and I haven't, and I have not said a word up until now about Ricky's supposedly domination over me for so many times. But you know what? Every time he's come up against me in more than one league, I flicked him off like he was a little flea and said next. So. But I haven't said anything.
Really?
Really?
Question. What happened in Texas Thunder in Duke's league? You lost to me too there, Slim.
Texas Thunder, what did I lose to?
Me.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Okay, you may have lost. I may have lost to you, and I'm not sure who I lost to there, because it doesn't make a difference. Where am I at in that league?
You're... actually, I have a tied record, and you're ahead of me by percentage points because I'm sorry. You have a one-game lead in that one. Double one game lead enough.
And so that one game lead, where am I at? Tell me where I'm at. Please tell the folks where I am standing in the standings. I want you to put that out there for the simple fact, Texas Thunder, okay, and the Guys with Big Shoes League, right now in the standings, is uno numero and only 6 points off of scoring the most points in that league.
That's fine, but you lost to me, and I've won two high-score weeks in a row, going for number three, and I will take over our division lead once Spanking Your A defeats you this week.
You know what, Victor? The first week you beat me. The first week, and I have not lost since then. So you caught me on a week, which is fine. But you beat me. But you beat me, and since then, I've won 5 straight games. So I hope to see you in week 11, and we'll see what happens then, because week 11 is just what it's going to be for you. Weak. Your game is weak. Your game is going to be weak.
Really? Really?
Really. Really.
Okay. Well, ladies, really, let's get into this show. We've done talk the talk. I'm going to beat this dude's butt down like he stole something. And week 11, yes, I know Tony Romo's on bye, so I'm going to have to put my backup in, which is fine. It's fine. And you know what? If I lose, that'll be my excuse, just like Jerry's excuse. On today's show,
yes,
we're going to discuss the Patriot Way.
What the hell is that?
Ladies and gentlemen. Whatever Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft wants it to be, that's exactly what it is.
Before we go there, can I say something, please?
Yes.
Nothing against you. This is something I just heard about yesterday, and I think it's I wouldn't say a momentous thing, but it is. And I didn't know about it until it was mentioned, and I have to mention it. It was the 60th anniversary of the first African-American quarterback to play the position in the NFL. Do you know who that was?
I know the team. It was the Raiders.
Wrong. Wrong.
You're wrong. Okay, all right. Who was it?
The first African-American to appear at the quarterback position in the NFL played for the Chicago Bears in 1953. That was the 60th anniversary was yesterday, and the name of the guy, he was from, he played at Michigan State, and he was part of the 1952 Michigan State Spartans, who won the national championship, and I didn't know that. Willie Thrower. I don't know if you ever heard of Willie Thrower, who's out of Pennsylvania, but Willie Thrower played 1 year for the Chicago Bears. His roommate was George Blanda when he was with the Chicago Bears, believe it or not. And he played in one game, about six plays or whatever it was, got the ball down to the – in fact, George Halas pulled Blanda out of the game because he didn't like the way he was playing. Put Willie Thrower in. Willie Thrower drove the ball down to approximately the 10 to 15 yard line, and then for some reason Halas pulled him out and let George Blanda take him in for the touchdown.
Oh wow!
Yep, and that was the only year that Willie Thrower played in the NFL because he was released at the end of the 1953 NFL season. That's a little really? Trivia question. That's a little trivia question. Little African American history. And he was the first African American to appear at the quarterback position in the NFL, and he played for the Chicago Bears under George Halas in 1953. Just wanted to put that out there.
So my question is that because Paul stumped the hump with Kurt Russell? Is that an answer to Paul?
No. No, not at
oh,
all.
Okay.
I just wanted to put that out there because I thought it was something that I felt I wanted to put out there because the 60th anniversary was yesterday. And
okay.
I found it pretty interesting. I didn't know it, did not know it at all, and it was just some feel-good thing that I wanted to put out there. That's all.
Okay. That's fine. I have no problem with that, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very good trivia. Well, speaking of Paul, we play the Bears this week, so hopefully Paul is listening.
Okay.
Paul, we're going to beat the crap out of the Bears. Do I believe it? No. Do I hope so? Yes.
Yes.
But with that said,
okay.
Paul, your team sucks. Paul Nadowski, the Chicago Bears suck this week. Because
wow.
The Redskins to win.
Wow.
But, I mean, we're talking about my classmates and people that suck. But let's talk about the New England Patriots. Admittedly, they have not played their best ball, and they've won some games they actually shouldn't have won, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they did win the games, and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They played Jets for a second time this week. Jets just signed Joshua Cribbs to a contract to help their special teams. That might be a big difference. But another big difference is the return of Rob Gronkowski. The Patriot way, be announced as a return by Bill Belichick. Not the case. The Patriot way is to suck up whatever injury you have and get on the field. Not the case. Gronk had his personal doctors and team physicians. Well, not the team physician. Dr. Andrews is not the team physician. He's the team physician for the Washington Redskins and a few other teams. But I don't believe he is for the Patriots. But he came in and pretty much said, no, I don't feel like I'm ready to play. And thus, he did. Another part of that is, Gronk could have been on the PUP list for 6 weeks, and another player could have helped the Patriots out. But they didn't. So again, the question becomes, is the Patriot way falling to the wayside? JT, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I understand the dilemma that the Patriots, they had put him on a PUP list if they knew that it was going to take this long for him to actually come out and say, I can play now. They would have put him on a PUP list, and then he would have been eligible to come off just about the time that he's ready to play now. And you could look at it if you were in the organization or a diehard Patriots fan, that it was the player, meaning Gronkowski, was being a little selfish, and rather than be put on the PUP list or tell him to put me on the PUP list because I don't think I'm going to be ready for a while, the Patriots thought he was going to be ready, and he wasn't. And like you said, they could have added another player that would have helped him wherever they needed help at. But he's here now, okay? And no, this is not the Patriot way. No, this is not the normal thing. Let me put it this way. If it was a lesser player, this wouldn't have happened. But it's because it was Gronk, and because Grady really likes Gronk, and because they've been struggling in the passing game, and because of the ability and the past history of what he's been doing, they put up with this off the field and on the field. They put up with this just to get him back, just so he can produce. But you have to look at it another way, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. You have to look at it another way. He's had four operations on his forearm. First operation was when he first got hurt. He came back too early when he played in the playoffs or whenever he played after the first break in his forearm, and he re-broke it, okay? And then after that, there was two subsequent surgeries on that same forearm, one for infection and because he was having so many complications with the forearm. And also, he had operation on his back. So he had the forearm, which he needed to make sure was fully healed because he doesn't want to have to go through that process again if it's because of something he could have waited on if the forearm was not healed. Plus the fact he had to deal with his surgery and the back issue he had. So I can understand him having to wait and wait and wait, and including the Patriots in that waiting game, because the fact is he wanted to make sure, and probably his family and probably his agent and who else wanted to make sure he's absolutely healthy to be able to go out there and play at the same level he's played at before. So even though it's not the Patriot way, it's the Gronk way because of all the extenuating circumstances behind the injuries that he had. So I understand exactly what he wanted to wait. The Patriots wanted to push him out there. They pushed him out there before, and he had issues. He wasn't going to go through that, regardless of what kind of pressure he was going to get from the organization. He wasn't going to go through that. And like I said, if it was a lesser player, a lesser player would have probably had more pressure and probably would have come back sooner, but it's Gronk. So they put up with it because they wanted him to be able to perform when he gets out on the field. And we do have your cousin on the line. You want to bring him in or what?
Go right ahead.
Mr. McCow, how you doing, my man?
What's up, man? Hey, who is making them old man grunts? I mean, no disrespect, Jerry. You were talking, but somebody making some serious old man grunts.
Well, there's only two people besides yourself on here, and I was talking, so it couldn't have been me.
Nah, that's what I said. It couldn't have been you. No disrespect. It wasn't you. You know
how
y'all
what?
Doing?
All right.
I'm doing fine. I'm driving, and that was your cousin probably grunting because he's sleeping in the car. We're headed to his game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See, there you go. There you go. Open mouth, insert foot.
Oh, come on. All right.
I didn't open
Don't
my
start.
Mouth and insert
Don't
foot.
Start.
See, you know what? You see, you see, you see, I'll try to let him off light. I'll let him off light. I'll let you off light.
Here we go.
Okay, too sweet. Okay, too sweet. Okay.
Hey,
Bubba. Hey, Bubba. Ask Daddy why he called. Why Uncle Michael called him too sweet?
He's sleeping. Leave him alone. He's got a rest. Get ready for his game.
Bubba, wake up, Bubba.
Anyway. Hey, McCall.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about, and I'm sorry, Victor, but I don't want you guys to go back and
right.
forth.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to ask that question anyway.
What do you think about Mr. Gronk taking his time and making an announcement or having a representative make the announcement that he's going to play versus the Patriots and the Patriot way of doing things that it's always funneled through the organization?
Well, I mean, I applaud him. He's always done his own thing regardless of what the Patriots say or do or whatever. And he has the talent and the star power to do so. You know, a lot of that stuff don't go on in the Patriots as Mr. Wes Walker found out. But Gronk, He should have been waiting. I mean, that dude plays with a reckless abandonment. I mean, he's just crazy. He's just crazy. So yeah, I mean, you know, and all the different things that was going on with him, I'm surprised he's playing this year. You know, I probably would have sat out some more this year, or maybe even, you know, sat out a whole another year and make sure he's healthy, because he gonna get out there and be reckless abandoned again. He gonna be hurt. He gonna get hurt again
because
he's crazy.
Well, okay, so if that's the case, I mean, and I agree with y'all, what y'all saying. I agree with what everybody's saying. But if that is the case, should he have expressed that to Belichick and the organization so they could have put him on the fuck list, and then they could have gotten somebody else to step in, got a free agent, or did something a little different? I mean, that's just what I'm thinking.
Well, hindsight is 20/20 in my opinion, Victor. He probably didn't realize it was going to take this long. The organization probably didn't realize it was going to take this long. And then one week led to another, which led to another, which led to another, and now they're behind the eight ball. They're not going to put him on. They can't put him on the pup list. And then when he's ready to play, not being able to come off because he's on the pup list. So, I guess because of it had a lot of extenuating circumstances. I guess they didn't realize he wasn't going to heal, or he wasn't going to be comfortable enough to come out there and play until now. So,
right, and I don't see what the big deal is. You know, he's worth it. He's worth it. I mean, it ain't like they, you know, 1-4, like, you know, my wonderful Redskins. I mean, but he's worth it. They need to do what they need to do to get, you know, to wait for that man to get back out on the field, because they desperately need him.
I got that, but my point is, had he expressed, you know, well, I don't feel comfortable going out there right now, da-da-da-da-da, and we don't know if he did or if he didn't, but had he expressed it, and people have known about it, they could have used that spot. I'm looking at it from a business aspect, as far as, you know, well, this is what he was going to do, this is how he should have did it, and so on and so forth. You know,
you're looking at it from a company perspective. That's
correct.
That's normally where your perspective is coming from. Toe the line, play the company.
Oh,
but
geez. Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. I'm telling you the
Wait
truth.
Wait a minute. Just, don't take
truth,
it personal, Victor.
Don't take it personal. It's just how you are. I'm not ragging you. I'm saying straight up. I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that so I can tell you that I understand where you're coming from. But looking at it from, you know, Gronkowski's position, I believe he played it well, and he beat the Patriots. You ain't gonna get too many of them over on them. But like I said to you, you had the star power to play it that way. And I don't know. I don't think that the Patriots should be grumbling about it, because he's very much worth it. And they've gone through a whole lot more with him, you know, with the stripper and all that internet carrying on that he had going on a couple of years ago. And then, you know, that dancing on the knee or something he was doing at after the Super Bowl or something. I mean, he's done a whole lot of things his own way. He's done it. And you know what? Honestly, the Patriots need something like that. They really do. They really need something like that. They do.
Okay. So then becomes the question. This becomes the question. What should happen with Danny Amendola? Because he can't stay healthy. What happens with these young guys that they have now that are out there?
You develop them.
Okay, got it. They develop them, but how?
They've been winning,
and they've been throwing them the ball, and they're gonna keep throwing them the ball. But they're gonna get the ball more to Gronk. They're gonna get the ball more to Gronk, At some point, Victor, that system is going to take over. It's going to take hold, and them youngins is going to play. You know, and they don't have to play. They don't have to play, you know, like Superman. All they got to do is do their job. Be in
exactly.
Their position. That's
exactly.
It, That's all.
And the thing about it, that's the Patriot mantra. Just do your job. You listen
exactly.
to Teddy Briskey, or you listen to Heath Evans, and what's one of the things they always say? Just do your job.
Just do your
that's
job.
Exactly
yeah.
what, and that's exactly. Don't do anything more. Just do
don't
your
do
job,
more or less.
And everything will work out with what we're trying to do. So that,
exactly.
that's all they're going to do.
Yeah, the Patriots are past the point where you had to get buy-in to their system. We past that, Vic. We way past that. I think that philosophy, I think you're applying that philosophy to that. But that's not the Patriot way, Slim. Nah. You either get in where you fit in or you get out. That's it. That's it. That's all. Period.
Well, I get that. My thing is, I'm just like, okay, well, Gronk has decided I'm not going to do the status quo thing. You know, I'm not going to let you guys dictate to me how I do things. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it also sends a signal to the rest of the team, you know, that, well, Gronk got away with it. Let me try.
That ain't happening.
No, that ain't happening.
I mean,
the fact that it might not happen, but that's the thought process. No, you're missing a factor in your evaluation. The fact is Gronk's star power. Gronk is
yep.
a proven commodity. He's a proven
yep.
commodity. You
yep.
know, and given the fact that Danny can't stay healthy and Wes Walker's gone, and, you know, you got these youngins that's developing, they just trying to get a piece of the steak. They just trying to get a piece of the pie. They just trying to get down with the system. So, no, he going to get away with that one. Scott clean and free.
Okay. Well, I'm at the game, fellas, so I'm going to try. They playing the hood music, so I'm going to try to talk loud enough. If you need to mute me, Jerry. But when you talk about a subject, just let me know so I can jump back in there. But I want to get into the Patriot way and discuss that because, again, it's important that we understand that they're trying to change the culture. So go ahead, let's break down the game, Jerry, and bring me up when it's time for me to talk.
All right, let's go to the first 1 o'clock game. We're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta is hurting on the receivers. They have a lot of injuries. Their big acquisition running back is out. Roddy White's not going to play. Julio Jones is gone for the season. So Harry Douglas has to fit in, and along with Harry Douglas has to step up along with Tony Gonzalez and whoever else is going. And quite naturally, Jacquez Rogers and Jason Snelling are going to be sharing the carries to take up for what Steven Jackson should have been doing. And Mike Glennon on the other end is visiting for the first time the Atlanta Falcons stadium and are going to go against the Atlanta Falcons, who are deadly at home. Matt Ryan and the Falcons are deadly at home. In my opinion, Atlanta's defense is not that good. It's been allowing between 25 and 30 points a game, if I'm not mistaken. Tampa Bay is coming in here trying to salvage the season. They haven't got a win. Atlanta it's also in the doldrums. He dropped out, so it's just me and you there, Mikhail, for now.
Okay.
until he comes back.
How you doing? Okay.
All right. I have to think that Atlanta is going to win this, and Tampa Bay is going to keep their record intact of no wins this season. Talk to me.
Yo, I've been on a record. This coach is a wreck. He need to go right back to Syracuse, right back to the college ranks, because that stuff ain't gonna work here. And I really didn't like that whole Josh Freeman thing. You know that, right?
Sure.
I don't even have to go into it, but you just look at the coaches. He went from one coach to another coach and to another coach. That's all I'm gonna say, Jerry. That's all I'm gonna say. But yeah,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. I want you to finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that. I think Atlanta should take this one, and I think they should beat them. They should beat them pretty good. They should beat them pretty good in this game.
And that Josh Freeman is now going to be starting this week for the Minnesota Vikings.
He's going to be starting. I was going to hold that for when that game came up. But, he's going to be starting.
Now, this game is very interesting, and it has some monetary implications for me with your cousin. We made a slight monetary transaction here. on whether the Detroit Lions would win more than six games. Well, they have four games already, and we're not even halfway through the season. So I think I'm looking pretty good unless Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson get hurt in the same game and go down and won't come back for the rest of the season. I think I'm sitting pretty well to see that Detroit Lions win at least three more games. I think they're going to win more than that. But like I said before, there are always a certain amount of teams. From one season to the next, the teams that, there's about a half a dozen teams that don't make the playoffs, and the teams that didn't make the playoffs in the previous year, there's about a half a dozen teams that make the playoffs in the following season. And I think Detroit, I said this early, before the season started, I think Detroit is one of these teams. Now they're hosting a 4-2. They're hosting a 4-2 Cincinnati on top of the division themselves. So it's 4-2 against 4-2. But the deciding factor in this is that Calvin Johnson is supposed to be playing. They're playing in Detroit, which is a fast surface. A turf surface in the dome, and Cincinnati is not a very good team on the road, even though they won, I think, last week on the road, if I'm not mistaken. So my saying is this. I like Detroit in this game. It's going to be a tight game because both of these teams are relatively, I guess the skill level is relatively the same. But I like Detroit in this game because the simple fact is they're playing home. They're playing on turf. They're a lot more comfortable there. And Cincinnati is Andy Dalton is not the most consistent quarterback. Talk to me.
Is Reggie Bush playing?
Reggie Bush is definitely playing.
Ooh, you got Bush, Calvin Johnson, and Stafford, and they at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you there, sir. I think Detroit's gonna put it to Cincinnati.
Okay, and the thing about it, you know, these two teams, they could play Jekyll and Hyde, but I really have confidence in Detroit because they play a lot better at home. They play well. They went on the road last week, but they don't play as well quite naturally because especially if it's on the grass, and I think last week they played on the grass and didn't do well. I mean, they won. Let me see who they played. They played Detroit. Played Cleveland in Cleveland, and won by 14 points. But Cleveland's defense is pretty good. But they played well enough that along with the play of Brandon Whedon in Cleveland, and the Calvin Johnson played last week, that they were able to get that win and come back. And now have to face another AFC North opponent in Cincinnati. But I like Detroit in this game. but it's not going to be an easy game. Here is another game. This game here is This is another game that's very interesting to see. Miami's coming off a bye, and they're going to be playing, hosting the Buffalo Bills. It's a division rival. Basically, you can throw the records out. It doesn't make a difference what these records are because it's a division rival. And both these teams play each other pretty close. Let me put it that way. And
right.
Buffalo's got a pretty good pass rush and pretty decent DBs. Ryan Tannehill has a tendency to hold the ball a lot and take sacks. Both these teams can run the ball. They have the Miami offensive line is a little shaky, and it's a timeshare, which I don't understand, between Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller, where Lamar Miller is clearly the best running back of the two. But they have a timeshare for whatever reason. And on the other side, Fred Jackson is banged up. C.J. Spiller is banged up with I think it's an ankle injury, a foot injury, something like that. But he's had 10 days to rest because of the Thursday night game they played last week. So, in my opinion, this is another tight game. It's played in Miami. Two teams know each other. Man, this is a tough game. You know, I'm leaning to Buffalo, but Miami just coming off a bye. You got to think that they've got themselves healthy and able to game plan for 2 weeks against the Buffalo Bills. You know what? I'm going out on a limb here. I don't care. I'm going with Buffalo. I like Buffalo to come in at the Miami and beat them in Sun Life Stadium. Talk to me, man.
Yeah, you going out on a limb. I'm not going to go out on the ledge with you, bro. I'm sorry. I do not like Miami. I don't like their coach. I really don't like that dude. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills with the fifth, sixth string quarterback that they brought in off the street that played for North Carolina or Duke or whatever it is. That boy
Duke.
Can play.
Yes.
That boy can
yes.
play. That boy
yes.
can play. He need to stop this faking with these other quarterbacks, man. I don't know what kind of scouting some of these people be doing, but that younger can play.
Yeah.
He played ass off.
And I've been going through this for, oh, my God, I've been going through this for three or four weeks that with Brian Hoyer, with Mike Glennon, with now Thad Lewis, and with them bringing these quarterbacks in and either Victor or whoever saying, well, you know, they're going to – well, they did it for a reason. And I keep on saying this. They bring these quarterbacks, these obscure quarterbacks, people that don't know about these quarterbacks or whatever for a reason. For whatever type of skill set they had, for whatever kind of offense they're going to run. Thad Lewis, and he was in intense pain last week because he hurt his ankle or foot, whatever. But he played well. They lost, but he played well. I mean, for someone that came off the practice squad and just got first team reps for a few days, he played well. Now, going into Miami, you can believe that they're going to try to run the ball more and do read option, which is that's the flavor of the month. And Thad Lewis, he does have an arm. He can throw the ball. All I think he needs is reps. Excuse me. Why did Buffalo decide to slot? Decide to sign Matt Flynn, who's been tossed away from Seattle, tossed away from Oakland, which is in dire need of a quarterback. They signed him and realized they made a mistake. They admitted it in paper in black and white. They made a mistake when they signed Matt Flynn and released him. And Buffalo picked him up. Why? He's got a popcorn arm. He's not that accurate, and he's not that good of a quarterback. They really must not have too much faith in Jeffrey Toole, who's the other rookie quarterback that was sitting behind E.J. Manuel, because he only played a short time and realized That's why they had to get Thad Lewis. But I do like Buffalo in this game, and I'll move on, and we'll go to excuse me, we'll go to the next 1 o'clock game, which is another AFC division rivalry, which is even more intense than Buffalo at Miami. It's the New England Patriots against the New York Jets. Geno Smith against Tom Brady. Rob Gronkowski makes his 2013 NFL debut against a division rival. Now, along with Aaron Dobson, along with Julian Edelman, along with Austin Colley, along with Kembrell Tompkins, is Ron, along with Stephen Ridley, along with Brandon Bolden, along with Tom Brady comes Ron Gronkowski to face Geno Smith and Bilal Powell and Jeff Cumberland and Jeremy Curley and Stephen Hill.
Don't sound so excited when you say those names.
And Santonio Holmes is not playing. And Antonio Cromartie is the newest version of toast, me getting burnt week after week. So let me tell you something. The names I named on the other side of New England are a lot more noticeable, not a lot more known than ones that I just named on the New York Jets side. And the skill set compared to the New England Patriots to the New York Jets is not even close. And even though this is playing in MetLife Stadium, even though the Jets have a top five defense, and this is the second game of the two games that the division rivals normally play, I still think that New England Patriots will beat the Jets by 10 points. And I like the New England Patriots in this game, not because I'm a former New York Jet fan. It's because the reality is New England's better, and they got Ron Gronkowski coming back. So that's more of a headache for the Jets defense to worry about. I like the Patriots. Talk to me, my man.
You know I like the Patriots. There's only one person on this show that just does not like the Patriots, and he shows his colors every show. I mean, I don't know what it is about the Patriots. I mean, I used to be that way. I feel him, though. I do feel him. I just hated the Patriots. Everything they did just F the Patriots, you know. But, you know, ain't no use in keeping fighting them. Because, I mean, this has been going on for like 10 years for me. So I stopped. I was just like, forget it. And then when they let go of Randy Moss, they left a sour taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a wide receiver, so, you know, I feel for wide receivers. But, I definitely like the Patriots in this game. The Patriots, like I said, they're going to take this division. You know, I don't think they're a contender, but they're going to be in the running. They're going to be in the running by default. Jets are not it. Dolphins. What's the other mob out there? It's one more. Jets, Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Jets, Buffalo, one more.
Miami.
Well,
Miami.
Jets, Buffalo, and Miami. All of them suck. All of them suck. They're not even close to where the Patriots are. They're not even close to where the Patriots are. If the Patriots was in the NFC West, they are 9-17, straight up. Straight up 9-17. But since they out there in the AFC East, they are at least going to win 11 games this year. You know, 10-6 is when they really bad. and they'll still win the division. So I got them handily beating these guys. It'll be over by the end of the third quarter. It'll be over.
Okay. And I think we have your cousin back. Let me just bring him back in again. Hopefully I can get him back here. Come on. Let me refresh this page and see if that'll work. Come on. Oh, God, I can't stand this. Blog Talk Radio is killing me here.
All right, let me move on while I'm trying to get Victor back here. Let me see if I can get him now. Victor, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess Blog Talk just doesn't like you because it doesn't happen to me.
I'm tell you, I keep freezing up and I have to refresh the page, but I'm learning a little trick here. I keep the mouse active and make sure it doesn't go into, well, I don't know, sleep mode or whatever. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just finished talking about the the New York Jets hosting the New England Patriots. We've gone through Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Cincinnati at Detroit, which I'm very looking forward to. Buffalo at Miami, and New England at the Jets. You have any thoughts on any of those games, or we just want us to move on?
Sure. Of course, Cincinnati is going to beat Detroit because they're better and they need to for me. Atlanta, that's an intriguing game because Harry Douglas is the man right now, and they're going to double and triple team Tony Gonzalez. So that means whoever the number four wide receiver is for Atlanta now becomes the number two. And from what I understand, they got Brian Rubicki, Terry Rubicki's son. He also played with Cleveland, so that should be okay. Unfortunately, for Atlanta, I just think they're too banged up. They're offensively and defensively, they weren't that good to begin with, so I think they might go down. It's an opportunity for them to say, well, you know what, we can still play without our top two wide receivers and win a game that we should win. But now that I'm missing the top two wide receivers, Mr. Jackson's not playing again. So that means Jaquez Rogers and Jason Snelling are going to have a buttload of work to do, eight in the box. And that's the reason I didn't start Jaquez in one of in several of my leagues at the flex position. He's going to see eight in the box. Nobody's scared of Harry Douglas. Whoever is the number four wide receiver, they're not going to double team Tony Gonzalez all day. And Matt Ryan is going to look like Matt Flynn all day in that game. Was another
against
game
the Buccaneers?
Yeah, against the Buccaneers.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Harry Douglas better than Darrell Revis? No.
Who?
It's
Harry Douglas.
Darrell Revis. No, he's not.
You could go down. You could go one on one all down. Down the whole.
Oh, I'm not.
All
I'm
day.
Not. I'm not going.
But
I'm not going one on one.
But it's 22-22. You know
correct.
What I'm saying?
And Tampa's offense was already better than Atlanta's starting defense. They were always better than that. Now you have an offense in Atlanta that isn't as good as it should have been or would have been. So, how you doing, guys? Victor's in there too. So Tampa really just have to play man defense. They can actually play man defense this entire game, in my opinion, and beat them. They can beat them playing man defense. So Harry Douglas ain't going to go by Darrell Revis. Rubisky's not going to beat the other corner. Mark Barron is going to have a field day. Him and a linebacker, probably Levante David, beating up on Tony Gonzalez. If not, Ryan goes the ball. Nowhere. Jason Snelling, Jaquez Rogers, they're going to have to run, but they're going to get the eight-man box every time. So, you know, you can say Atlanta is going to win this game, but I think Tampa gets their first win of the season based upon the handicap that Atlanta has. They might prove me wrong. I doubt it. But, you know, we'll see.
Okay.
What was the other game? What was another game? You said
well,
game
you
day?
Went to Atlanta. You already picked Detroit with Buffalo at Miami.
Cincinnati.
Okay. I'm saying what you're saying. Buffalo at Miami and New England at the Jets.
I got the Jets in that one. I got Buffalo in the other one. I got Buffalo not off the strength of that quarterback from Duke, although he did a very good job. I'm getting it off of the defense. Miami has given up the most sacks.
Yep.
In the NFL.
Yep.
The most sacks. And that's a good thing for Buffalo, because Buffalo's secondary isn't that good, but their front seven is okay. And they can get to Ryan Tannehill. They are going to try to throw the ball out to the flats and stuff, to Hartline, to what's my guy named, Mike Wallace. But it's not going to help them, because if he's holding that ball trying to get it downfield, it's going to be curtains. It's going to be another sack, a seven-sack game against Miami. So Buffalo wins that game, in my opinion. It'll be a mild upset, but I think it'll happen. And like I said, Jacksonville, I think
no.
Not Jacksonville.
No,
New England.
I think the Jets beat New England, even with Bronson Sutton, mainly because I think the defense is going to bang up on Gronkowski. He'll probably play, 30, 40 snaps. He's not going to play the whole game. If he does, I'll be surprised.
You've been picking against the Patriots all year, right?
So that's fine, and I'm going to continue.
Right, exactly.
So the Jets.
Please amplify my theory.
The Jets are going to win this game. They should have won the first game. They didn't, thanks to a fourth quarter meltdown by Geno.
If I could have, should have, would have.
Exactly.
I understand.
And the thing about it, Victor, let me put it this way: the Patriots were feeling their way around because of the inexperience of the wide receivers in the offense. If you've been watching how the Patriots have been playing, and you've been on the East Coast, so you've been watching some East Coast games before you went back home. Those two wide receivers, them boys have been growing up game by game by game. Tom Brady had enough confidence in the young boy, that one rookie, Kembrell Tompkins, to win the game last week against the New Orleans Saints. So he's got a lot of faith in these two wide receivers now. And now he's got his go-to guy in Gronkowski coming back playing the Jets. I can't see how you can pick the Jets. I understand their defenses are better, but the New England Patriots offense is a lot better than it was when they first played.
No doubt about that. You got Tompkins and Edelman. Yeah, them boys stepping up. They stepping up.
So, I mean, it's going to be it'll be a competitive game for three quarters. What's that?
I think it'll be a competitive game for the entire game. I just think that the Patriots aren't going to have enough in the tank. The problem is if it goes down to, the red zone, if it's a short-distance game, the Patriots have a chance to win. But if it's a long-distance game...
Nah, Vic, your analysis is just crazy. You need to be trying to figure out how the Jets can win this game. Because the Patriots are 5-1. The Patriots are 5-1. They own the Jets. They own them.
Okay.
They're talking too much.
No, they don't. But
they do.
Go on to the next game.
We got a former Jets fan on the line right now. Let's ask him.
They own the Jets. They own the Jets. I don't know where you. I'm just listening to you. I don't want to get into this because they. I know. They own the Jets. They own the Jets. It's plain and simple.
They own the Jets when you were rooting for them, they owned the Jets.
They still own them.
You see what happened? I mean,
they still own them.
The Texans. You see what happened to the Texans now that you're cheering for the Texans?
Don't deflect what we're saying here.
It's all
what we're
your
saying
fault.
here. Yeah, okay. Regardless, they own the Jets. Plain and simple, cut and dry. Rex can talk all he wants. Right. They get owned when they play the Jets.
They get owned.
They get owned. Plain and simple.
Right.
Let me put it this way. It make it competitive till the third quarter. Midway through the third quarter, the Patriots will take over and they'll win by about probably 10 points. They'll win by probably ten points.
And Victor, the only thing I'm saying to you is I will have respect for your analysis if you say that the Jets have a chance to win this game if they do this, that, and so. I would respect it, but you saying the Patriots got a chance to win? Oh, okay. All right. You let it.
Keep it moving. You're a loser.
Okay.
So is Jerry.
Let's move on to another good rivalry here that has to move over from the AFC East to the NFC East. We're talking about, if you're in fantasy, this is going to be a hell of a game for you to watch and enjoy. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are hosting the Cowboys. Nick Foles is going to be starting. We had a kumbaya moment with Michael Vick and Nick Foles with a joint press conference, I've never seen a quarterback have a joint press conference with the backup or with whoever. So this was the first, and to tell you the truth, they looked like they really liked each other. It wasn't like it was just staged. But Nick Foles is taking the reins over until Michael Vick supposedly gets healthy, and I see a lot of scoring in this game on both sides. Both of these defenses can't really stop each other. Both of these defenses are really suspect. So there's going to be a lot of scoring. In my opinion, it's going to be the last man with the ball who's going to win this game. And you know what? Wow, this is a tough game to pick because both these offenses can implode at any time. I'd have to pick the home team. It's up in the air, but I would have to pick the home team. I know Philly's 0-2 at home, but I still think they're going to get their first win at home, and I'll pick Philadelphia. I'll go to Victor first and then Macau, and we'll do that for the rest of the way.
It saved me for last, dude, because I'm competing with noise.
Okay. How about you, Macau?
You got Chip Kelly going against Monty Kiffin. And for those of you who don't know, Chip Kelly owns Monty Kiffin. He owns
him. That's right. Yeah.
He owns him. It's not even like the Jets. I mean, he just beat the crap out of Monty Kiffin's defense. It's just ridiculous. So you are absolutely right to look at these offenses, Jerry. This is going to be I think it's going to be a pretty high scoring game.
At least in the
20s or whatever. But I'm going with the Eagles.
Okay. Let me see if I can bring Victor back here. I had to put him on mute for a quick minute here. Because there's a little bit. Victor, you there now?
I'm here.
Okay.
Who's Philly playing again?
Dallas at Philly.
They're at Philly. See, that young running back bothers me a little bit. I'll say, welcome to the NFL, Chip Kelly. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to take a sip now. I say, welcome to the NFL, Chip Kelly. The Cowboys beat them. Straight up.
You say that you like Dallas? Is that what you're saying?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, Victor, I got to ask you something, okay? Are you having a bad year? are you having a bad year? Because it seems like your judgment in these games and your judgment has been a little off. So I'm just wondering if you need to go. Go see somebody, Jerry, what's that?
It's not his judgment. His judgment is fine. His analysis sucks.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
I don't understand because some of these games and teams that you're picking it doesn't make sense. But you're entitled to your opinion, so let's move on. This is a game that you guys are really interested in because Chi-Town comes to Washington. Chicago Bears visit the Washington Redskins in need of a win in the worst way. Supposedly, Robert Griffin III says, I need to run more and not necessarily run out of bounds when I should. I just need to go out there and play with more or less with reckless abandon. And the coaching staff says, yeah, Robert, that's what you need to do. Now, in my opinion, this is a recipe for disaster because if he's already had two ACLs and he sustained one, the last one, because he played with reckless abandon and either didn't slide or go out of bounds when he should. Now, he's got a ton of talent, but that talent does no good sitting on the sidelines in a cast or on crutches. So I understand that he wants to run more, but you got to be smart when you run. Look at Michael Vick. You got to be smart when you run. Look at Colin Kaepernick. Look at Russell Wilson. You got to be smart when you run and run out of bounds or slide when you need to because your team needs you. So I like Washington in this game, but it's not going to be easy. But Washington's playing in a desperate state, and I think they pulled this win out. Not because I got two Washington Redskins fans is why I'm saying this. I really believe that they're going to win this game because they're going to be playing desperate. And I think the reins are going to be off of Robert Griffin III. He's going to play a little bit more freer, and I think he's a little bit more comfortable in his knee so he can play a little bit more recklessly. I'm going to McCall and then Victor. Talk to me, guys.
Oh, man, we need this win. We need this win really, really bad. Our special team sucks. I don't know what's going on in the middle of that football field on defense. I really don't know. Hunter Fletcher usually takes about two or three games before he gets in the swing of things, but he's taking an extra long time this year. I don't know. This is gonna be a close game. I do think that Robert's gonna have a breakout game this year. He's due for it. He is so due for it. And you know, watching him play in those other games, he didn't look bad. He just didn't look like Robert Griffin III. We know the RG3. We know. But this is getting to the hazy analysis for me. Because I'm just like, yo, at some point, he's gonna have a breakout game. I want to say it's this one, but I don't know. But you know, I'm going as a homer. I'm going down swinging. I'm picking the Skins, baby.
Okay, let's try to bring Victor back in there and put him on mute again, and see if I can bring him back here. Victor.
Yes, sir.
All right, Chicago at Washington.
Well, you know, I am going to go with the Skins in this one. I'm not going to look at the run game for the Bears as much as I'm going to look at the passing game for the Bears. We could beat a lot. And we're going against two six-footers, 6'2", 6'3" guys. And Earl Bennett isn't that small either. Marcellus Bennett has done well against us, whether he's with the Jets or whether he's with the Giants. It doesn't matter. Not the Jets, I'm sorry. The Giants or the Cowboys. The problem that I see here is that the Bears aren't going to be able to contain Robert. That's one thing. They'll run right at Julius Peppers. He's still a beast. But he's not as adept at stopping the run as he is as a pass rusher. So the key for us is to get Robert outside of the pocket and do all those wonderful things that he did last year and create some excitement. But on the opposite side, right? All right, thanks. And then on the other side is
can they catch the ball? That's the other part. I mean, I know Rob hasn't been the best quarterback this year, but he's put the ball in places that were catchable. And when these cats are dropping it, or every other week they're changing out the number two receiver from Leonard Hankinson and Josh Morgan and all this other stuff, I'm like, that kind of scares me a little bit. Now, one constant has been Josh Reed, the tight end. He's become the number two target.
Jordan Reed.
Yeah, he's become the number two target for RG3, which is good, but he's still a tight end. And, you know, if you can use him like the Patriots use Gronk, that'll be good because he's a big body, but he's a little bit more elusive. So that will be the key for the Skins to win this game.
Oh, my
they
God.
They can.
They need to use him like Hernandez, Slim. His body is
nah.
like Hernandez. He's built
his
like
body
Hernandez.
Is like Hernandez. He's built
like
Hernandez.
Hernandez.
However, I think he plays a little bit like Gronk with a little bit of reckless abandonment.
No, he don't.
He's not that good of a blocker from what I've seen, but he can catch the ball and can move in space.
You know
so
why he catches the ball? He catches the ball.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm trying to help you. He does what Davis does. Freeze the quarterback.
I'm fine.
No, you're not fine. No, you're not fine.
Bottom line is the Skins need to win this game. Therefore, the Skins will win this game. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Let's move on to, now, in my opinion, this is a pretty tough game to pick. You don't know on both these teams, you don't know which team that's going to show up. I'm talking about the St. Louis Rams visiting the Carolina Panthers at Bank of America Stadium in Carolina. Carolina needs to keep this going. They won last week, if I'm not mistaken, and they need to keep this going just as St. Louis manhandled. Destroyed my Houston Texans last week. Need to keep momentum going. St. Louis is one of the youngest, if not the youngest team in the league, so they're pretty inconsistent. Sam Bradford didn't throw the ball that much because he didn't need it to because of what happened in the Houston Texans imploding and the defense of the Rams capitalizing on mistakes of the Houston Texans offense. So we'll see what happens because both of these wide receivers, except for C. Smith, on both sides of the ball, I'm talking about St. Louis and Carolina, are shaky, except for Steve Smith and Greg Olsen on the Carolina side. I don't know what Cam Newton is going to show up. The Cam Newton that is a dynamic player or the one that it can be mistake-prone. And quite naturally, that could happen on the other side with St. Louis. I'll have to go with the home team and stay with that. I think they can run the ball in St. Louis, which is one of the worst run defenses in the league. And I think D'Angelo Williams will be able to run the ball. So I'll go with Carolina. I'll move it to Victor. Macau. Victor? Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor. All right, Macau, talk to me.
Yeah, this game is a toss-up. You got 3-3 Rams against the 2-3 Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what they're doing down there in Carolina. I got some kind of idea of what my man Jeff, what is his last name? Jeff Fisher? That Jeff Fisher is doing down there. He's getting mm-hmm. he's getting that mob together for a good long run. It's just right now they're struggling. They're still
right.
struggling. But, I'm gonna have to go with the Rams on this one.
Okay. Victor, are you with us now? Hello, Victor. Oh, I lost Victor. Okay. Oh, no, I lost McCall. Victor, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
They're just doing the national anthem. They're doing the national anthem, so I couldn't.
Okay. No problem.
All right.
Okay, you finished now?
What team are we talking about?
We're talking about St. Louis Rams at the Carolina Panthers.
I think that game Cam Newton had last week, it was aberration. It's not going to happen again. I know St. Louis has got a bad run defense, but they have a better pass defense, and the ability to cover up his receivers is going to be a good thing. I think Zach Stacy has won the job. Since he's won the job, they're going to use him a lot. So hopefully we'll see what happens, and I'm a big St. Louis.
Okay. You picked St. Louis. Okay, that's two for St. Louis because I picked Carolina. Anyway, let's move on. Hopefully McCall will come back because we lost him. Moving on to another winless team hosting a team that's coming off a short week. They played last Monday night. I'm talking about the San Diego Chargers visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, some people have said that because of San Diego traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast on a short week playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're susceptible to a Jacksonville who hasn't won a game yet, that the Jacksonville, some so-called experts are picking Jacksonville to win their first game. I don't think so. Jacksonville is a horrible team. Blaine Gabbert's not going to be playing this game. It's going to be Chad Henne, who's going to quarterback this team, and you can expect Justin Blackmon to have heavy targets. Cecil Shorts is banged up, and I think the Mercedes Lewis hasn't been too effective. So basically, the only guy that's going to be thrown to is Justin Blackmon, and which San Diego can be passed on. And then we have MJD. I'm not a big MJD fan. I picked him once in the whole time I've played fantasy football, and I'm regretting it week in and week out. I knew I shouldn't have picked him. I just took a shot, and I'm regretting it. Anyway, I don't think Jacksonville gets their first win. I think San Diego comes across the country and gets another win, and Jacksonville will go 0-6. I'm picking San Diego to win this game. Talk to me, Victor. Victor,
well,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think that Jacksonville has a better chance than most people think, mainly because Chad Henne. I mean, that's honest to God's truth. He targeted Justin Blackmon 20 times last week. He caught 14. Oh, my God. Throw it.
Catch the ball.
Anyway, I think Mr. Henne gives them a better chance of winning, and Jacksonville might pull the upset here, only because I see San Diego coming off of that great win they just had against the Colts, and I think Jacksonville shows up. They prove they could at least make Peyton Manning look human. So if they can do that to Peyton Manning, they're going to make Phillip Rivers look a little average. So in an upset, I'm going to pick Jacksonville.
Boy, I'm telling you, you know what? I gotta find someone to get you into therapy out there, because I don't know what's going on, but I don't understand some of these picks. Anyway, let's go to San Francisco, the first 4 o'clock game, San Francisco at Tennessee. Two tough defenses, a stiff test for Colin Kaepernick and company coming up against Tennessee, who's no slouch, and it's going to be up to play this NFC West team. Wow. LP Field is going to have the Niners there, the NFC representative from the Super Bowl. And there's a strong possibility, extreme strong possibility, and highly likely for Jake Locker to come back to the field and start as a quarterback, because Ryan Fitzpatrick really didn't play that well when he was starting. I'd have to pick San Francisco in this. I think Tennessee won't be able to really run the ball that well. And I really don't like any quarterback that sits back there. I don't like the passing game of Tennessee, to plain and simple. Haven't liked it all year, and I still don't like it. So I think San Francisco wins this pretty handily. Talk to me, Victor.
San Fran wins, hands down. No analysis needed.
Okay. Let's move on to Cleveland, who's playing in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay wide receiving core took a big hit last week. Randall Cobb went down, and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. James Jones is down. He's got a knee issue. It's highly doubtful that he's going to play. So supposedly, JaMychal Finley is going to fill in as a wide receiver / tight end this week, along with Jarrett Boykin, who's the third wide receiver. And Eddie Lacy is probably going to get a lot of more touches also. I'm going to be running the ball a lot more in this game, if I'm not mistaken. Cleveland on the other side, they're still going to stick with Brandon Whedon. They don't really have too many choices. I'd have to think if Detroit can beat Cleveland in Cleveland and beat them by 2 touchdowns, I think that Green Bay should have no problem beating Cleveland in Green Bay. So I'm going to Green Bay. Talk to me, Victor.
You're wrong. You're wrong, and you're wrong. Cleveland is the city where they come from, so rhyme. Cleveland an upset. Cleveland
really
is an upset, because Cleveland's run defense is going to power them to the victory. Eddie Lacy will have nowhere to run. That young receiver is going to have to come up and show himself for taking Cobb's place. Jordy Nelson, great guy. Tom Hayden's going to shut him down. Green Bay defense already sucks. Pick Cleveland and upset.
Victor, I'm really worried about you. I'm really, really worried about you and your analysis and your judgment, because I'm going to have to, like I said, I'm going to have to find somebody to get you into therapy, because I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on. I'm picking dogs today. I'm picking dogs.
Anyway, you should be picking hot dogs, not these dogs. My God. Oh, my God. Anyway, let's move on to another division rival. Man, there's some good games on this week, some very good games on this week. We're talking about two hard-hitting teams that do not like each other at all. We're talking about Baltimore at Pittsburgh, 425 game playing at Heinz Field. Baltimore has been struggling, especially the run game has been struggling, especially Ray Rice has been struggling. All you fantasy players that have been had Ray Rice, you're probably pulling your hair out, because he hasn't been doing squat at all. All you guys that look at that, try to grab Ray Rice on the cheap, because he's been playing so bad. Maybe you can take a shot. You never know. Anyway, in this game, Pittsburgh has been playing horrible. They're 1-5, if I'm not mistaken, and looking to keep the momentum going after the win they had at the Jets. You know what? I think they get it, because Joe Flacco doesn't play well against Pittsburgh and also doesn't play well on the road. I like Pittsburgh in this game. Even though that they're going to have trouble running the ball, Pittsburgh's one of the better teams against the run. Le'Veon Bell probably won't have any room to run. But Big Ben has been throwing the ball well with Emmanuel Sanders, and he has his security blanket in Heath Miller, and also he has his big player, big-time wide receiver in Antonio Brown. I like Pittsburgh in this game. Talk to me, Victor.
Pittsburgh versus who again?
Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Kobe Jones is back. Maybe he'll get a little attention off of Smith, and maybe they'll show up. Maybe they'll give the ball to Ray Wright. But you never know. You never know. Big Ben's riding a high now. They had a great game last week, and Le'Veon Bell is going to run the ball kind of hard. Wow, this is a really tough game for me.
Yeah.
You know what? Picking Pittsburgh, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh because I think they're going to be that dominant at home. Heinz Field is tough to win at Heinz Field. You've got to put the situation.
Okay. Now we have another 425 game. This is not the last of the four 4 o'clock games. Houston at Kansas City. Casey Keenum, rookie out of Houston, University of Houston, who broke some passing records at the University of Houston, is going to be debuting in his NFL season at Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're the number one defense, or close to at least top five, top three probably, Kansas City is. And to play in this stadium, who set the record for the loudest stadium last week and probably going to try to beat that record, Casey Keenum is going up against this defense and reeling Houston Texans to try to put a spark in the offense or in the team of Houston to stop this four-game losing streak. It ain't going to happen this week. Kansas City wins this, and Houston goes home with a five-game losing streak. Talk to me, Victor.
That's the thing, man. Kansas City has a very, very stout defense. They're starting a third-string quarterback, Casey Keenum, out of Houston, which is a good player, but I don't think that he's going to produce the numbers that they're looking for. So, therefore, oh, my gosh. So hopefully, Houston steps up and definitely.
Oh, somebody got a touchdown, and it's not good.
No, it's not. But that's what Houston's going to hear all day tomorrow, and it's not good to Kansas City.
Okay. Now we wrapped up the 4 o'clock games. We go to the Sunday night game, which, in my opinion, is a must-see game, the game of the week, especially in hype. Bad blood between, I would say bad blood between Peyton Manning and the owner, who supposedly he thought was close to, but the owner put his foot in his mouth saying, Peyton gave us a Super Bowl, one Super Bowl, but we should have had more, which sounds a little bit ungrateful to me. But with, I think, double-digit 12-win seasons, it should warrant you a lot more respect than you only gave us one Super Bowl from the owner. And Denver is going up against into Indianapolis. And the new Indianapolis quarterback versus the old Indianapolis quarterback, now the Denver quarterback, is going to school this young boy and go come away with a dominant win, I do believe. I like Denver in this game big time. Of a Denver offense that's scoring over 40 points a game, I like him to win this game big. Talk to me, Victor.
Denver, dude. Denver, all the way.
Okay. Let's go on to the Monday night game, 8:30 game, to Who Cares Bowl. Well, I care. Let me put it this way, because this has fantasy implications, and it's a big game on both sides of the ball for both teams in different ways. One for the Minnesota Vikings because they're debuting a new quarterback that they just recently acquired in Josh Freeman, who's trying to resurrect his career. So he needs to play well in MetLife Stadium against the 0-6 Giants. In my opinion, he can't have a better scenario against a team that's reeling on both sides of the ball and on his side particularly, meaning Josh Freeman's going against this Giant defense who is not good against the run, extremely bad against the pass. If Josh Freeman is on the same page as the receivers and the offensive coordinator who's calling the plays, he should enjoy playing with Adrian Peterson. I mean, you can't have a better scenario. You have decent receivers in Jerome Simpson, Cordell Patterson, and Greg Jennings, and you have the best runner right now. He's the MVP until it's taken away from him of the NFL, Adrian Peterson. The only setback that you have is your defense is not that good. So, with that being said, the Giants are hosting the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota comes into the Giant MetLife Stadium and beats them. Talk to me, Victor.
Nope, this is McCaff. Sorry about that. My phone died.
It's all right. Ooh, talk
Minnesota.
To me, Victor.
Minnesota is going to win this game. Thank you. Thank you. Minnesota's going to win this game. The problem I see here is Brandon Jacobs is playing, but he's a little nicked up. They're bringing in Peyton Hillis, which is fine. They're going to bring in Peyton Hillis. But Peyton Hillis isn't doing – he's got – Jesus. He's not going to be doing the type of running that they need to win this game. Minnesota is going to swing the ball around the field. Open up holes for AP. I look for Greg Jennings to have a great game. Greg Jennings and Jerome Simpson, I think he's going to have great games. And it's going to force a lot of throw the ball. I mean, so picking up Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs, I'm just telling you, I'm not feeling that against a Josh Freeman-led Minnesota Vikings offense.
Okay, McCaff?
I like the Vikings in this game. I think the Giants are just terrible. They are just horrible. I don't know what happened to that team, but they have just lost all their pimp status. They are terrible.
I hear you. All right, we got one more game to go, and that's the Thursday game, which is the Carolina Panthers visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is another divisional game that starts off the week 8 of next week. Tampa Bay playing home. Now, this is the type of team Carolina. This is the type of thing that Carolina can come into here and lay a big egg. And I do believe that they may do that. The game before that they're going to play, they'll be playing St. Louis. It's going to depend a lot on how they play in St. Louis. Depends on how they're going to play this division game. I do believe since they're playing in Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay is a pretty stout run defense. Their pass defense is still a work in progress. Carolina struggles in the passing game, and I think they're going to struggle in this passing game. And I think Tampa Bay, if they don't win in Week 7, I think they're going to get their first win at home. So I'm picking Tampa Bay to get their first win against the Carolina Panthers on the Thursday night game. Talk to me, Victor.
Well, Thursday night. Who are we playing again?
Carolina at
off.
Tampa Bay.
At Tampa Bay. Wow. Pick up the Tampa Bay to win the game the first this Sunday. And Carolina's coming to them. It's a nationally televised game. The focus is on Shiano and what they can and cannot do. I think they step up to the plate. I really think they step up to the plate and win that game.
Okay. What about you, Macau?
Listen to the great daddy. Oh, isn't that special?
Shut up.
I remember those days.
Like it was yesterday. But yeah, I like I like the Panthers in this one. I think they should be, they might be able to bounce back from whatever happens this weekend. If they take a hell this week, this Sunday, and then they should be able to come back against the Bucs. Or even if they win, it'll propel them into coming in and knocking off the Buccaneers. I got no faith in the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I know you're not a fan of Shiano and the Buccaneers this year, so I figured you picked the Carolina Panthers. Anyway, with that being said, we come to the conclusion of this show. Victor, I'm going to lay it on you to end this show. Whatever you want to do, talk to me. It's on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is FFC. We do this every Saturday. I'm at games with the kids and stuff like that. I'm a little excited, a little disappointed at the same time. But AKT Money's always been there, always helping a brother out. He won my stuff, so he might as well pay it forward somehow, some way. I want to thank my cousin for coming on and being a part. We want to tell you guys, check out Sunday's show, Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. JKET Money is going to have some sneaky tips for you and some other things. But tell them yourself, JT, what you got going on Sunday.
Same thing I've been going on. I haven't gotten too many people listening, but I've been putting players out there that have been coming through. And it seems like the players I'm telling you about are the players that are being broadcast on some of these national major station programs. So I'm giving it to you earlier than these guys are giving it to you, so you can pick them up earlier than the people that are seeing these programs across the country. So listen to my program. Now, I'm not perfect, but I think I'm giving you some good information that you'll be able to use to help you win from week to week. Hey, Mikhail, you want to tell us about your show before we get out of here?
Yeah, November 2nd, I'm going back to the state of Missouri, going out there to St. Louis. We're also will be in the building. We'll be at the 18th Street Parlor. Come on out, check us out. We're going to be having it going on. We're going to have a good grown folks conversation, and some good poetry, and a beautiful band. So come on down, check it out. Get it in, baby.
All right, Victor, you want to close this or you want me to do it? What are you doing?
I think my Jeremiah's team just scored a touchdown. I'm very excited. Jubilation. Move to the Patriots. Patriots suck. Any team Jerry supports suck, except for my fantasy players on the Houston Texans. Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory. Braves on the warpath. Fight for all these
teams. Hail to the Redskins. That's how
with that being said, take us out, JT.
from myself and Mikhail and Victor, you've been listening to Come on.
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.